Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. We're again reading probably in one of the two most famous, or we could say familiar, verses in all the Bible. As we look at these couple of verses, it's not my really intent to preach and teach on these verses, as we will, but as we look down through what we've been studying the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the rewards of wisdom that comes from God as we would apply His truth to our life. So far, we saw God rewards us with consecration, He rewards us with compassion, and then tonight, in these two verses, and perhaps maybe a few more verses, we'll see the commitment that He rewards us with. So let's begin just by reading these two verses tonight for the sake of time. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this privilege we have to be here today. Thank You for the testimonies that were given. Thank You for the prayer requests that were lifted up. And Father, we do ask and pray as we pray according to Your perfect will for our lives, Father, that You'll meet these needs in Your perfect timing. Father, so many are sick and had trials and troubles coming into their life, Father. But Lord, through it all, Father, testimonies were given of Your goodness, how You saved them, Father, how You met needs in their life, Father, providing even a free trip for a homeschooler, Lord. What a great blessing You are to us. So, Father, I pray You'll be with us tonight as we look at this third of the reward that You have given us, this area of commitment. So, Father, we thank You. And we love You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. As you look here at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, again, these are probably very familiar verses to many of you. As you look at these verses, begin to study these verses out, I think three main themes really just come to my mind. The first one, the subject of trust comes to mind. The second one is the subject of faith, and also the subject of direction. And I think all three of those, trust, faith, and direction, are really all the underlying message given to us here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Notice, first of all, the command that's given to us, the command that's given to us. In the command, we find the dependence in the command. Notice what it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." The placement of trust must be exclusive. Notice that the Bible says, to trust in the Lord. That word trust literally means this, reliance upon, and has confidence in something. The confidence and reliance upon is God. It's not in man. It's not in things. It's not even in ourselves. Notice what it said, our confidence, our trust is in none other but in the Lord. It's not what we add, all the other things we put our trust in and add the Lord to that. That's not it at all. As a matter of fact, in the absence of all other things, we ought to trust in the Lord. Even if nothing else we have to place our trust in, we are to place our trust in God. It says we are to trust in the Lord. Trusting Him has to be a priority in our life, not a last resort. And henceforth, we fail so many times as Christians is that we don't put our trust in the Lord as a priority. We make it as a last resort. We try to figure things out for ourselves. We try to work out our own plan, our own devices, our own schemes. And when that doesn't work, then we say, well, I better ask the Lord what He wanted me to do. And we begin to trust Him. This placement of trust must also be exhaustive. It is to be complete. Notice what it says, with all thine heart. Again, here lies our problem, is that we'll give God a little piece of our heart, we'll give Him a little piece of our problem, but not give Him the whole heart or the whole problem. And if we're to trust in the Lord, it requires literally a knowledge of God. Turning to keep your finger there, but turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. When you turn there, I'd like to have someone read that for us. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. For the trust in the Lord requires a knowledge of God. Who would read Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 tonight? All right, Dan, thank you. Amen. There's a couple of great truths in there that you need to flesh out for yourself this week, at the end of this week, and the beginning part of next week till we meet back again. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and notice the last part, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We trust those who we know can be trusted. Do you ever think about that? Who do you trust in your life? You trust those who you know who are proven to yourself to be trustworthy. We also trust those who we love the very most. Think about that as well. The people you trust are those that you love and have proved himself to you to be trustworthy. And trust is based on a knowledge that comes from experience. You see, I trust my wife because based upon her experience and her love to me, I can trust her. I know that she's going to do what she says and say what she's going to do. And God can be fully trusted because of his infinite wisdom. We think about his loving concern for you and I and his perfect record of success. Listen, God has a perfect record of success. If he said he's going to do it, it has already come to pass or will come to pass. If he says he loves us, he proved his love to you and I, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he proved his trust to us. God is not only available to be trusted, but he also asks us to trust him. Think about that, amen? Boy, it doesn't get any finer, any better than that. The placement of our faith depends totally on commitment, and it isn't a half-hearted but a wholehearted commitment. Again, the problem is simply this, that we only halfway commit to people. God is wholeheartedly committed to us, and we ought to be wholeheartedly committed to him. In James chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, we see the respect in the command, but then notice the deference in the command. That word deference really means respect. It means submission to a higher authority. Notice what the verse says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, we as human beings, as frail as we are, and as fallible as we are, and as sinful as we are, we have a tendency to lean on our own understanding. I think most of us would probably say here that we are right most of the time. I think most of us would be honest enough to admit that, and maybe not out loud, but to yourself, you'd say, I'm pretty right most of the time. Very few times I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, it's always someone else's fault, right? That's what we sometimes think. But listen, we have a tendency to lean on our own understanding. You say, how will you do that? Well, we do it in business. We do it in politics. We do it in our personal relationships with other believers. And it's sad to say it, oftentimes it's even done in our spiritual walk as a believer, that we lean unto our own understanding. And I think testimonies were given tonight about times when we don't understand and we try to lean on our own understanding, but instead we ought to trust God even when we don't have all the answers. Notice those words, lean not. That doesn't mean that you and I should never make plans for the present or make plans for the future. That's not what it's saying. I think God's word teaches us that we ought to make plans but have God in the center of those plans. It just means that making our plans ought to be subject to the will of God. We make our plans and say, God, I bring this to pass if it's your perfect will for my life. If it's not, change me so I can be do your will. I think James 4 and verse 15 says a lot about this. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You see, it's not my will, it's not your will, it's what God's will is for our life. Then notice the words, own understanding. So when you and I are facing problems, people try to figure out what it would take to make something work. And then they lean on themselves, and they lean on other people to try to make that thing happen. What seems to be right to you and I, guess what, could be completely wrong. According to Proverbs 4 and verse number 12, our own understanding is oftentimes very dangerous. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, sometimes our own understanding is completely opposite of what God would have. And so the truth is sometimes there is more than we can understand on our very own. Like Shannon testified, she couldn't figure out why God was allowing that to happen. She trusted him by faith, but he couldn't understand it. Sometimes it's more than we can understand on our own. Well, in the command, we see the dependence, we see the deference, but then notice, thirdly, notice the devotion. Again, being totally committed to him. Notice the last part of the verse. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And everything that you and I do, we must consider the Lord and his desires for our life. That word acknowledge means to make known. It means to confess him. So we acknowledge him because he is an all-loving and all-knowing and all-seeing and all-holy, and let me help you, an all-powerful God. That is why we acknowledge him. And by acknowledging him, we give him credit that is he deserves. You see, you and I don't deserve any credit. Even if God allows us to accomplish things for him, we don't deserve any credit for that. He deserves all the credit. And to acknowledge God also means to surrender to his control of our life. And the thought simply is this, that in all our decisions, we again want to know what God's will is. It's not our will, but it's his will. And our surrender to the Lord should be evident in our home, should be evident in our job, it should be evident in everything we do, including our interpersonal relationships, that our surrender to God ought to be evident to everybody. Well, we see the command, but then notice the last part of verse 6. Notice the compensation. The Bible said, then he shall direct thy path. I thought about that, and these words came to my mind. What a wonderful assurance that we have from God. And he shall direct thy path. As we trust him, as you and I seek his leading, he shall direct our path. As we turn to him for guidance, he'll give us guidance and give us wisdom. And the thought in James chapter 1 and verse number 5 parallels this verse. The Bible in James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Think about this. How can we go wrong? How can we go wrong when God's guidance is so readily available? How can we go wrong? Here's the truth. We can't go wrong when we rely on his guidance, when we rely on self, when we rely on our own thoughts, our own ways, and our own pathways. Guess what? We will go wrong. And leaning on the Lord, there will always be a good direction to follow. You don't know what direction to go? Lean on the Lord. He promises us here in this verse that he will teach us the way that we need to go. The path that he leads us on may not be one that we always like, but you can be rest assured it's a path directed by God's perfect wisdom and God's loving kindness for you and I. Here's the truth. Every one of us need direction. You say, well, I got this thing figured out. Be careful, because just when you say that, you'll soon figure out that you don't have it figured out. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the word says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So listen, when you think, I got this thing figured out, you're going directly against what God has said. He says there is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Listen, we can't even figure out where we need to go and how to get there and when we need to be there apart from the Lord's guidance. You know, God directs us in so many different ways. Somebody tell me, give me a way that God directs us this evening. What would the answer be? How does God direct us this evening? Okay. Does Holy Spirit speak to us? Thank you. How else? Maria. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. What else? I didn't hear you. When you read your Bible, yes, that's a great answer. What else? That's right. Sometimes from another person. How else? Sometimes we say, God, yes. That's right, by hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Sometimes we say that God has opened the door. He sometimes leads that way. But also, guess what? Not only does God lead by open doors, but guess what? Sometimes God directs by closed doors. In Acts 16, verse number 7, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, and it said, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so as we go down over this list, God often directs us by the Holy Spirit with Scripture. He directs us sometimes, this wasn't mentioned, as a result of our praying for God's direction and His path in our life. How about this as well? By conversations with godly people, giving us godly counsel from God's Word. And how about this? By repeated impressions of God-honoring actions. Sometimes He directs us that way. And then by open doors and by closed doors as well. Well, we see tonight that the rewards of wisdom are consecration, compassion, commitment. But then notice in verse 7 and 8, let's read those verses. The Bible says, back to Proverbs 3, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." This is the call, really, to have the right character traits and our attitudes. And get this, and our actions. These two are directly related together. Oftentimes, our actions are a direct result of our attitude. If our attitude is right and we have a godly attitude and godly character, guess what? Our actions will be right as well. Notice verse number 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." I think there are three commands for us found in verse number 7. The first one is this, the command of humility. Notice it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." You know what? This has been the problem of man going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Thinking that you are wise is utterly foolishness. If you think that you're wiser than God, if you think you know more than God, if you think that you can live this life and apart from God, you're living a very foolish life. There always will be a way that will seem right to you. Even in your very worst situation, you can look out and say, "Oh, wait, I think this is the right way." But Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise." We see it's a warning against having this know-it-all attitude that's so prevalent today. Kids growing up today think they know everything. They know better than you, and they might be 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, and get to be teenagers, and they think they know more and live more than you have as a parent. So it's prevalent in today's society, and we need, as parents and educators, we need to train our children to understand this and that they don't know it all, amen, that God knows it all, and they need to rely on Him. The second command is to honor. Notice what the wording in the Bible says, "Fear the Lord." When you think about fearing the Lord, we think about respect and reverence for God is lacking in our world today. It doesn't take very long to turn the news on, read internet news on your phone or whatever you, even the newspaper. You'll find out very quickly that there's not much respect and there's not much reverence given to God in the world that we live in today. And then we find the third command is holiness. Notice what the Bible says, "Depart from evil." The Bible said in Romans 12 and verse number 9 that God's people are to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." And then Proverbs 16 and verse number 6, the writer says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Again, in Proverbs 16:6, we find mercy and truth again appear together again from our previous study in verse number 3 from last week. And this command for us is to, number one, be not wise in thine own eyes. The second command is to fear the Lord. And then lastly, it is to depart from evil. Notice the compensation in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Really, this is a metaphor for spiritual health, which often leads to better physical health. If you have good spiritual health, most of the time or sometimes, and we have better physical health. And God's command for the well-being of His children to be in every part of their life, the physical part, the spiritual part, and also the emotional part as well. And people who fear the Lord and avoid evil will reap physical benefits in their health. See, sin oftentimes carries the consequences of of ravaging our body. It saps our strength, according to Psalms 32 and verse number 3 and 4, where David said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah." So David, after his sin with Bathsheba, really, he was saying, listen, I'm in a terrible shape. Physically, emotionally, I'm terrible. And so sometimes it saps our strength, but sometimes it's the cause of our illnesses. And we think of when we take communion, we always read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 30 that speaks about some who are sick and some who are asleep or some who die because they have not made things right. But here's the interesting thing tonight. That word navel actually means umbilical cord. And it appears in the Old Testament only here in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 14. And then that word health is derived from the word rapha, which means to heal. So I think the image here in Proverbs is one of a health-giving nourishment and strength that flows from the mother's body through the umbilical cord into a preborn baby's body. Understand as we apply it to ourselves today, the fear of the Lord is a healing flow into our sin-sick soul. It's the marrow or the nourishment for our bones. Well, tonight we saw the conviction and we saw the character of wisdom. And we'll pick up next week in verse number 9 and 10 with the reward of the contributions. Let's pray.